The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And I hope I can be forgiven for taking pride in the immense spirit of neighbourliness that the people of this country have shown. Getting jabbed, not just for themselves, for ourselves, but for friends and family and everyone we meet. And that, after all, is the teaching of Jesus Christ.
We've been saying all along that it's a cult. And now at this time of the year, you've got all these references to Jesus Christ, as if he would get the jab. That's, of course, Boris Johnson from the UK. That's his message for the Brits. Get the jab. Do it for Jesus. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Hard to believe we're at the end of another work week here at God's headquarters campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live stream of this program through our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. And then, of course, our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live program each day and also to the previous shows that we post a couple of hours after the program ends. When you think about the ruling class and some of the statements that they've been making these past couple of years, I played the clip for you yesterday from Donald Trump, who called the vaccine one of the greatest achievements of mankind. And then there's Boris Johnson talking about jabbing because that's what Jesus would do, or that's the teaching of Jesus Christ. He, by the way, earlier in that clip, he's talking about how that go and celebrate Christmas this year because you couldn't do it last year. So there's all the more excitement this time around. Well, as I recall, he and his ruling class were partying and keeping Christmas last year. So the hypocrisy on display, I mean, that's certainly there. But just the arrogance, the haughtiness of man, as it says in your Bible. We've played this clip before of the unelected governor of New York and what she had to say about the jab not that long ago, clip 5.
But I prayed a lot to God during this time. And you know what? God did answer our prayers. He made the smartest men and women, the scientists, the doctors, the researchers, he made them come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say thank you, God. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants.
On and on. They're preachers. They're preachers now. And isn't it rich to hear so many of these radical leftists, the ones that are promoting abortion, the ones that say, like this woman, you better put a mask on your two-year-old. Keep it on there. Keep it on there 5-6 hours a day. It's no big deal. She said that, I think, even just recently. I forget what number that is, fellas, but if you can play that.
And we do hope that everyone really comes around and realizes this is a simple, very minor intrusion, if you will. If it's that, even that, all the children in the state have been wearing masks since the beginning. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal to you. She doesn't need to wear her mask. She can continue partying. Boris can continue partying. They all continue right on with their lifestyles. The rich and the famous, even as they tell school children to wrap their face up in a mask so that they can't get fresh air, so that they can't breathe. The way they talk about their policies and what they've done, we have a booklet here, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, what it will be like. What the world will be like when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and when God establishes his government on this earth. But even when you look at the world today and you see all of the violence, there's a murder epidemic going on in the United States right now. It's fulfilling a prophecy in 2 Timothy 3, among other passages of the Bible. Murder, rape, violence, all these stories of pedophilia in high places, by the way. And yet you listen to these rulers in our nations today, and they talk about this world, this present evil world, as Paul describes it in Galatians 1, and they talk about it as if we're living in a utopia. This is wonder. This is of God. This is Jesus. Jesus would do this. The vaccine is perfect. The vaccine is saving lives, even as excess deaths skyrocket in the UK, in the United States. In the nations where they've just had this mass jab campaign, 500 million jabs in the United States this year and 400,000 excess deaths. What's causing all these extra deaths? If the jab is saving so many lives, why are so many people dying? Let me take a moment, says the Prime Minister of Britain, to just brag about what we've done. To brag about the NHS, to brag about all of the jabs, to brag about the vaccine. Isaiah 2, verse 22, it says, "Cease you from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Cease you from man." Jeremiah 17 says, "Don't put your trust, your faith in what some man can do." We're seeing all of the destruction, the abomination of desolation in a spiritual sense, coming from an Antiochus, this evil Antiochus spirit. But there's also other prophecies about Jeroboam, and that administration is not going to rescue us either. That's the truth. That's the truth. Only Jesus Christ, only the rule of Jesus Christ. Psalm 146, verse 3, it says, "Put not your trust in princes." Don't put your trust in princes. If you do that, well, look at where they're leading us. Look at the disasters, the dumpster fires all over the place, the train wrecks. Cease you from man. Listen to this comment just yesterday from the Commerce Secretary, forget her first name, Gina maybe, Raimondo. She's the Commerce Secretary talking about the Biden economy, clip one.
You know, under this president's leadership, he has overseen the greatest resurgence in an economy in his first year in office, you know, greater than any other president that we know of.
Great. The greatest first year economic boom of any president that we know of. Period. Full stop. Next question. How do you explain this kind of haughtiness and arrogance? Just the lies as well. How do you explain this? She knows this isn't true, but she believes. She's a disciple. She is part of the cult. She's a religious zealot. These are extremists, all of them. And they're suggesting just extreme activity and behavior. Listen to this doctor. He was on CNN. This is what he recommends. It's not the masking's not enough. The lockdowns are not enough. The vaccines, boosters, got all that. But we need more. We need more. It's for your safety. Clip three.
The CDC made terrible mistakes about testing. We had a reasonable testing situation set up where you could walk into test sites and rapidly get a PCR. And when the vaccine came around, we kind of dismantled it. I think it was a series of bad choices, starting with President Trump and extending. And I do think, you know, half a billion tests are a step in the right direction, but we're going to need 2, 3, 4 billion tests.
4 billion tests. We've had 800 million already in the United States. The fake president's got $500 million on order for January. And this guy, I mean, this is huge business. Every one of those tests, I forget, you can go to CVS or wherever and find out how much they are. What is it, $10, $15, $20 a pop? And we need $4 billion. $4 billion. And like Sam was noting this morning, it's just a small segment of the population that basically takes these tests. The people that are super scared and the ones that have to travel. I took four or five of them myself last year just to be able to travel. You have to. It's mandatory, or at least it was then. 4 billion tests. So what do we have? We've got the rapid fire testing, 4 billion. That's what he's suggesting. We've got a half a billion on the way. So says the fake president. We've got all the jabs. Israel's now into the fourth jab. Four jabs in 1 year. We've got all the jabs. We've got all the masking. We've got the social distancing. We've got lockdowns in certain places still. Severe lockdowns. What else? What else? You can see it's just a power grab through and through. Listen to this. Let me just move ahead in my notes here. This is from the Boston mayor just recently, clip 11.
We've learned a tremendous amount from our partners in New York City and other places. Cities across the country are already implementing this. And once it gets to the point that it is part of the culture, part of the standard expectation, there's much less direct challenge in compliance.
She's advocating for vaccine passports, by the way. That sounds like the people in the background are really excited about it. Vaccine passports. Once we get it established into the culture, it'll be no big deal. Just like the unelected governor in New York says, mask up the two-year-olds. It's no big deal. It's so easy to live in a utopia, this dream. We've had this dream for generations. To just control everything about your life. To be the massive nanny state that's responsible for everyone like a parent. The Washington, D.C. mayor, she's putting in similar measures. This is Joe Rogan describing the power grab of these authoritarians, clip 10.
Forced COVID shots mandated to attend school. And then it gets down. Wow. There's a couple other ones, but here's one. Eliminates religious exemption for work and college. And then here's the bottom. Eliminates parents' consent to shots when a child reaches 14 years of age. So your 14-year-old kid, you can't say that your kid doesn't get a COVID shot. The school just gives them a shot. The school just takes care of your kid's body. Which is wild. Here's another one. This is the scariest one. Assembly Bill A416 allows the governor to imprison without trial anyone she considers a threat to public health. Like the governor gets to choose that? Like, that's unconstitutional. Without trial? Imprison without trial. Someone, that's so vague. A threat to public health? What does that mean? Well, if you're fat and you're sick and you're sneezing on the subway, you're a threat to public health. Yeah. This is what's scary to me about this COVID thing, is that the government has gotten accustomed to having way more power over people, way more power to control people's lives. And they like that. They enjoy it.
They enjoy it. They've gotten accustomed to this. And so it doesn't matter if at a press conference they're shouted down. They just carry right on. Hey, this is so simple. It's so easy for you to do what we say, for you to bring your vaccine passport to the restaurant. So simple. Meanwhile, look at the world in which we're living, and they talk about this world as if it's just the most wonderful place that it's ever been. Your Bible says that the last days are going to be known as perilous, perilous times. Verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They came out and announced the fourth jab in Israel, and it was based on no study whatsoever. It was just a medical official, like we're accustomed to seeing, saying, it's time for another jab. Well, does it help? Is this supposed to get rid of the virus or the variants finally and forever? Oh, we don't know. It hasn't been tested. It's just time to get another jab. Oh, okay. And a lot of people just go along. National suicide. Israel, the little nation in the Middle East, Judah, biblically. And then Ephraim, and then Manasseh. All three of these nations. The USA Today had a piece, a pretty lengthy article, trying to explain all of the excess deaths. Okay, there's COVID. We know about COVID deaths. That's bumped it up a little bit. But what about these hundreds of thousands of other deaths that are not COVID-related? What is the cause? And here's the USA Today trying to wrap its mind around these statistics. It says here, nationwide, nearly 1 million more Americans have died in 2020 and 2021, the year of the vaccine, I'm adding, than in normal pre-pandemic years. It says, but about 800,000 deaths have been officially attributed to COVID-19, according to the CDC data. It says a majority of those additional 200,000 deaths are unidentified COVID-19 cases, public health experts have long suggested, pointing to the unusual increase in deaths from natural causes. So the authorities, the elites, the ones that talk about, hey, can I just take a moment to brag about what my administration has done? And all of these people getting the jabs. And then their medical officials, they come forward and say, well, there's been a lot of excess deaths, but look, it's all COVID. It's all COVID. And that's why we're so thankful for the elites and the mandates they put in place and the jabs that they're enforcing. This article, again, it wants to attribute all of these excess deaths to COVID. We told you this was coming. How are they going to prepare for more propaganda? What did the verse say? I just read it to you. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They cannot accept, they will not accept that there's anything wrong with this experimental gene therapy. They will not accept that. It doesn't matter how many studies there might be after the fact. They can't accept it. They won't accept it. This is from the USA Today again. It says the Rankin County, they're examining, I think, some counties in Louisiana and as a sample size, basically. It says the Rankin County coroner said he wrestles with family members who first argue against citing COVID-19 on death certificates, then reverse course when they learn, that's the family members, when they learn the federal government pays for burials of people who die from the coronavirus. So even the family members come around in the end. Hey, Uncle Sam's paying for the funeral. If we just say it was COVID, well, then you better mark down died with COVID. Just like the case in that Texas county. He died with Omicron. What a racket from top to bottom. Everybody gets swept along into the spirit of this age, which is a spirit of selfishness and vanity and haughtiness. It says here, the coroner defended his reasoning, saying CDC guidelines are just that, guidelines. They're not laws. He said many families want COVID-19 listed on death certificates for financial reasons. Let me just read this again. This is the USA Today. Yeah, another day in the news cycle. Many families want COVID-19 listed on death certificates for financial reasons. I mean, that pretty much sums up the problem with everything we've seen in the past 2 years. It's either for political gain, authoritarianism, I mean, ruling with a heavy hand, or it's for economic gain. And there is a lot of economic gain to be had. I mean, 4 billion tests for the United States, and we've had 800 million already, and 500 million jabs. You think they're going to dial this back anytime soon? You think they're ever going to reach a point and say, you know what, I think we've pretty much stamped it out. There's some even on the left that are writing about how this is the, it has to be the Atlantic. The Atlantic has had enough. Even the Atlantic, the left-wing Atlantic, this is the beginning of the end, Omicron. It has to be. But that's not going to stop Pfizer. That's not going to stop Moderna. That's not going to stop Fauci. That's not going to stop Collins and Biden and all the fake administration. They'll just keep coming out with the latest pronouncement. Does this mean that you haven't been a success or you haven't had a successful first year? The fact that there's more COVID deaths this year than last year? Oh, no, 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 no. In fact, let me take a moment to brag about what I've done with the vaccine. Let me just take a moment. Oh, the spirit of service and sacrifice. The spirit of giving is in the air. Just get the jab. Do it for your family. Jesus would. Can you believe this? This is the world we're living in today. This is off the charts. This is off the rails, bizarre and crazy in every respect. It does make you pray. All the more earnestly and fervently, thy kingdom come. And it makes you set your affections, your mind on the things above. The wonderful world tomorrow. We're not going to have jabs. We're not going to have all these rapid testings. We're not going to have lockdowns. We're not going to wrap our children's faces in cloth masks. None of that. Not in the wonderful world tomorrow. What will it be like? Well, you can study this book and see what a difference that world will be when compared to this world. The Daily Mail, I might have mentioned this earlier this week. Some of these stories do overlap here and there. Why are so many footballers collapsing? Well, at least the Daily Mail is addressing it. Nobody else, everybody else, even as these athletes, these fit athletes, the most fit people on earth, are collapsing because of myocarditis, heart pain, blood clots. It says there has been a worrying spike in cardiac arrests and stars retiring with health-related issues. But leading sports cardiologists insist it is not to do with COVID vaccine. You can't make this up. So they at least address it. Then they go and they get the one expert. Certainly not going to be Peter McCullough. It's not going to be Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Certainly not. They get the one expert that says, oh, it's just coincidental. There's a spike. Yes, there is a spike. But it might be because of the pressure and the strain from the lockdowns. From COVID. No, not the lockdowns, because the elites created that. That's perfect. But COVID, it takes its toll. It has taken its toll on our footballers. So that's why they're collapsing. It says here, 9 years separated, Mark Vivian Foe's death from a heart attack on the pitch in Lyon, France, to Fabrice Muamba's near-fatal collapse at Tottenham, and another 9 passed before Christian Eriksen was brought back to life at the Euro 2020 this summer. I mean, that just happened this summer. They had to bring Eriksen back to life. He was dead. Says 3 of the most harrowing in-game episodes football has seen were spread over more than 18 years, yet it feels that barely a week goes by at the moment without news of another cardiac-related incident in the game. It never used to happen. I mean, I remember when it happened once when I was a kid, Lynn Bias, that was back in the 80s. Drafted by the Boston Celtics. I enjoyed the Celtics back in the day. And he just collapses and dies out of the blue. And my first thought was it has to be drug related. That just doesn't happen very often. That hardly ever happens. Then we come to find out later that, well, it was drug related. All of these cases, they're drug related too. That's just my opinion. They're drug related. What is the drug? What do they all have in common with one another? Well, the Daily Mail, at least it brings up the subject, but then they go out and recruit the expert, and they wrap it up with this. The worrying spate of heart-related episodes in football has raised concerns over links with COVID and the vaccination program to prevent it. It says further on, as someone who has knowledge of what actually happened to some of these people and the diseases that affected them, I can tell you, I don't think it was football-related, just bad luck. It was just bad luck, says the expert. It's just this year we have had a few of these events. So nothing to worry about here. Keep calm and carry on. It's perfectly normal for footballers to collapse on the pitch with heart problems. Perfectly normal. What's the verse yet again? It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Let me just give you our toll-free number. I mentioned this beautiful book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. What will it be like? Call our operators today and find out. Order your free copy of this booklet written by Herbert W. Armstrong. The toll-free number, if you're in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Trumpet Daily.
Meanwhile, states across the West are facing dangerous drought conditions.
The first ever federal water shortage declaration for the Colorado River Basin.
107 at Portland International right now. That equals Portland's all-time record high ever.
In Oregon and Washington, more than 1,100 people have been treated for heat-related illnesses since the start of the heat wave. Across the region, rolling blackouts. And while temperatures are finally set to dip, the damage could be long-lasting.
Extreme heat and ongoing drought in the West are combining to make for a very difficult fire season.
Reports that more than 65 major fires in Western states that have burned close to 1 million acres so far.
I mean, nothing left.
We begin tonight with devastating weather in Tennessee. More than 20 people are dead. Dozens are missing after extreme flooding this weekend.
A record 17 inches of rain. That's about one-third of the total yearly rainfall in the entire state. Tonight, search and rescue teams are searching for the dozens of people still missing, including children.
We now have 22 individuals that have lost their life in this event. The majority of it will not be able to be rehabilitated or rebuilt.
But this is a disaster which spans nations. In Erftstadt, west of Cologne, several houses collapsed. Others are in jeopardy. But work to protect them was impossible with roads washed away.
There's so many people dead.
And with more rain predicted, the work of the emergency services won't be over anytime soon.
Chip. David, the fifth strongest hurricane to hit the U.S. mainland in recorded history.
The communities of Grand Isle, Golden Meadow, and Matthews were the first hit by Ida's devastating force. Houses are only home to heartbreak. Those who could afford to lose the least have lost the most.
Search and rescue operations continue across Kentucky, including at that collapsed candle factory. More than 70 people in the state are confirmed dead.
Of the ones that we know, the age range is 5 months to 86 years, and six are younger than 18.
That's my dad. Sorry. But you just, I mean, I don't know where that came from.
One of the montages that we've prepared for the end of the calendar year, we've got more to give you next week. You don't want to miss our programming for the final week of the year 2021, the year that that so many prognosticators said early on, well, surely it's going to be so much better than that dreadful 2020. And I guess if you listen to the ruling class, I guess we're supposed to believe that everything's pretty much near perfection. Why all we haven't even spent a lot of time this past year on some of these weather-related disasters. Why? Why are they happening? Well, again, you listen to the elites, and they say, well, of course, climate change. We just need to pass Build Back Better, and that'll put an end to the flooding and the hurricanes and the deep freezes and the widespread drought and the wildfires. We turn away our ears, our eyes from the truth. The truth. What did Christ have to say? Speaking of Jesus Christ, what did Jesus Christ have to say about so-called natural disasters? What does Jesus Christ have to say about physical health and fitness? What does Jesus Christ have to say about the spread of disease? You see some of these communists, as I say, it's awfully rich for them to start talking about Jesus, even as they continue on with their almost serial adulterous affairs or insider trading, just bringing in billions of dollars, or at least hundreds of millions. They carry on with their pedophilia ring. They carry on with their oppressive authoritarian measures, making you to wrap up your two-year-old in a cloth mask. And then they talk about Jesus. Well, let's talk about Jesus. What did Jesus Christ have to say about weather-related disasters? My father has a program playing just this weekend, Why Natural Disasters? And we have a booklet that goes by the same name. Another booklet. If you want the truth, if you want to get the truth on this subject, call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and request Why Natural Disasters. You notice there the word natural on that booklet. It's in quotes. Is it natural? Is it natural and normal for us to have hurricanes tear through entire communities? Or tornadoes, like the recent tornadoes through Kentucky? Is it natural? Well, if you want to get into the teachings, the prophecies of Jesus Christ, let's do it. Listen to my father. This is a tidbit from this weekend's program. This is the Key of David program. You can get to the Key of David videos at our website, thetrumpet.com. And, of course, it's probably playing somewhere near you on television stations as well. We have a TV log at the back of the Trumpet magazine each month. In any event, clip from this coming weekend's program, Why Natural Disasters, clip 8.
But if you look at Luke 21, verse 11, it talks about the pestilences, famines and pestilences, and fearful sights. In addition to those famines and pestilences, he says there are fearful sights like tornadoes. that just hit Kentucky. And here we have probably more than 100 deaths there. And in those six states, maybe in Kentucky alone, there will be that many. It certainly looks like it could happen that way. Why is that happening? Where is God? These are just the beginning of sorrows. If we don't heed, if we don't heed what Christ says. Now, that's critical that we get this. Do you and I take heed when Christ speaks? And what I'm talking to you about here is almost all in most Bibles in red letters. Jesus Christ himself speaking it. And a Christian is one who is supposed to follow Christ.
Well, how about that? A Christian is one who is about to, or who is following in the steps of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21. Now, you listen to some of these preachers today, and basically the doctrine, the whole of the Ten Commandments is get the jab. Submit to our authoritarianism. We know what's right. We know what's perfect. We know what a big lie is. We'll tell you what the big lie is, and we'll tell you what the big truth is. And the Bible says they turn away their ears from the truth. They turn away their eyes and ears from the truth. And they espouse fables. There's my father giving you a little bit of truth as revealed by the God of this universe, the great God above, and his son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth. You can see it in Luke 21, like he just quoted for you there. You can see it in Matthew 24, the parallel account there. This is just the beginning of sorrows. And then we add to that these man-made sorrows. The virus, keep in mind, it's man-made. The vaccine, keep in mind, it's man-made. And the adverse reactions that we know of, 20,000 reported, 20,000. The VAERS site will update its numbers later this afternoon. So we'll see how many more died because of the vaccine. How many more are permanently disabled? How many more got Bell's palsy because of the vaccine? How many more miscarriages because of the vaccine? How many more people admitted into the hospital for urgent care because of the vaccine? It's happening. Absolutely, it's happening. How do you explain all these excess deaths in the UK, in the United States? And the ruling class, they're there saying, look, we need more of the drug. We need more of the drug because all these athletes collapsing around us is just normal. It's just normal activity on the pitch. No big deal. Nothing to see here. Just get the jab. Jesus would do it. One more clip from my father's program this weekend, clip 9.
Notice verse 12. And because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, how about that? Lawlessness all over the place. It's just consuming us. What person would disagree with that? If you look at our society all around us, wouldn't you see that lawlessness reigns in this country? If you look at God's standard,
what person would disagree with that? Well, quite a few, as it turns out. The ruling class, the leaders, the elites. I mean, the vaccine is the greatest. That's probably the greatest creation in the history of mankind. Leaders agree. They disagree, I should say. They strenuously disagree with what Jesus actually taught, with what Jesus actually proclaimed. Jesus, it's in the red letters. He says that lawlessness abounds. It's just everywhere. It's consuming us, like my father said there. Who can disagree with this? Well, those who are turning their eyes and ears away from the truth because they want to believe in fables, they want to believe lies. You want to talk about Jesus Christ? Let's talk about Jesus Christ. The Son of God, God in the flesh, filled with the Spirit of God. We don't often think, at least not enough, about just how hard Jesus Christ worked to, as I've covered in recent programs, to stir up the Spirit of God, to go and to talk to God, to communicate with His Father in heaven. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. That's John 5 and verse 30. He couldn't do anything on his own. He drew on the power of God. He went to God and asked for power. He asked for the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, just so that he could think straight, so that he could think about any given topic, so that he can think about it from God's perspective. What does God say about natural disasters, about disease, about man-made disease, about man-made drugs? God has a lot to say about these subjects. And we can come to get His perspective if we'll look to Him, if we have a hunger, like Jesus said in Matthew 5, for truth, for righteousness. Speaking of God's Spirit, yet again, as I said yesterday, we're told in the Bible, stir up the Spirit. Stir it up. Otherwise, it will be quenched. Otherwise, we'll grieve the Spirit, or we'll suppress it. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians 4:30, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6 and 7. Notice Luke chapter 1. Let's look at the example of Jesus Christ. It says in Luke 1 verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And then down in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I mean, that's a good question. I'm a virgin. How am I going to give birth to a child? Verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Here's how it's going to happen, Mary. The power of the Highest, God's mighty power, is going to come upon you. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, remember in Acts 1, he told the disciples, you know, just wait here for a bit, and afterward the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You too will receive this same power. You too will be strengthened with might, just as I have been during my earthly ministry. Of my own self, I can do nothing. But with God and by His power, all things are possible. Jesus Christ's birth proves this. Look at verse 37. This is Luke 1 still. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. With God in you, with God's power in you, all things are possible. Without that power, well, what are we? We're nothing. We can't do anything. Jesus said it. He said so himself. The power of God. Notice John chapter 3. John 3, it says here in verse 31, and he that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Jesus, of course, came from above. He was the Son of the Highest. He was God in the flesh. And notice this, verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. That Spirit by measure, or without measure, that means without limit. Jesus had an unlimited amount of God's Holy Spirit flowing into his life and mind, flowing from God in heaven. Remember, he could do nothing himself. So he was in constant contact with his Father in heaven, receiving this flow of the Spirit And the flow of that Spirit would flow out of him in the form of good works, in the form of those spiritual fruits listed off in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, and so on. Without limit, think about having that much of God's power dwelling in you. Now with us, it's a more measured supply. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, brought this out in 1983. It says, when we first are converted and receive the Holy Spirit, we don't receive God's Holy Spirit 100% or without measure like Jesus himself had. He alone had the Holy Spirit fully and completely without measure, as the Bible words it. But we receive just a measure of the Holy Spirit, and we're told to grow in grace. And that is in God's Spirit, in God's favor that he favors us with as he just injects his Spirit literally into us. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we need the knowledge, we need the study, we need the education, and we need the power of God to open our minds to the truth, to empower us with strength, spiritual strength and energy. Jesus had it without limit. And yet the Bible says that Jesus learned, we read that yesterday, it's in Hebrews 5, he learned obedience. The Bible says that Jesus overcame the world. He was an overcomer. He overcame the world. He overcame his adversary, the devil. The Bible says he resisted against temptation and sin, and he did so to the point of sweating great drops of blood. This is not someone who just went through the motions. This is not so. We shouldn't take the Spirit without measure to mean that he didn't work to draw on that spiritual power. Just the opposite. He worked. He prayed. He prayed so hard the night before that he sweat blood. Now that's some kind of fervent contact with God. Jesus had this unlimited supply flowing into his life and mind, and out of his life in the form of good works, in the form of godly fruits. He had that unlimited supply because of how hungry he was for God's Spirit, for God's truth, for spiritual food. He had that Spirit supply without limit because of how passionate he was to fulfill God's will. To fulfill all of God's will. That's what he prayed the night before, remember. I don't want to go through this, but nevertheless, it's not about my will. It's about your will, Father. It's about the Father's will. It's about what the Father wants. Help me through the power of your Spirit. Help me to be led by the Spirit. Jesus Christ had towering responsibilities during his earthly ministry. He had responsibility, and together with it, pressures and strains unlike any human being has ever experienced. He knew he could not commit one sin. He knew it had to be a perfect effort. He knew his ministry had to be perfect from beginning to end. So there was some pressure and strain that came along with that job, with that responsibility. And that's why he was repeatedly going through. Read it in the Gospels. He had the big public healings and the crowds that followed after him. And then in the transition periods of those miraculous events, you have statements in your Bible where Jesus says, all right, we've got to pull away here. He tells his disciples, you go wait here. I've got to go up into a mountain to pray. I've got to replenish that supply of power. He didn't receive enough at his physical birth to supply him for the rest of his earthly life. God's Spirit flows. John 7 talks about it flowing like rivers of living water. He was continually going back to the source of his power, which was God himself, And by doing that, he set for you, he set for me a perfect example. This is how you do it. Now, we start with a measured portion, assuming we've gone through the preparation for baptism. We've had the prayer of faith, the laying on of hands, and then God gives us that down payment, as Ephesians 1 says. That small portion, that down payment of our eternal inheritance. And then, like Mr. Armstrong said in that quote that I gave to you, then we're supposed to grow. It's just like physical reproduction. And that little ovum, when it's impregnated, when it's fertilized, and then there's just rapid growth for the next 40 weeks. This is what we have to do as newly begotten Christians. Otherwise, we'll quench the Spirit. We stop growing and we quench God's Spirit. We don't want to do that. We want to be filled with the Spirit like Jesus was. Mark chapter 5 here, verse 21, says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Well, this is a man of faith, it sounds like. Verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And he was just surrounded by crowds of people, pressing up against his garments, making it difficult for him to get from point A to point B. Verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." So here's a sick person who was just getting sicker. And she looked to Jesus Christ. She looked to the Son of God. What would Jesus Christ do? Verse 27, "And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Now here's an example of faith as well. Verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." So this woman just touches the garment, the hem of Jesus Christ's garment, and is instantly and miraculously healed. No vaccine for her. She looked to God. She trusted God. She said, "If I can just touch the garment of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's filled with power." And notice verse 30, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out from him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes?" That word virtue there, it comes from the Greek word that means power, might, or force. In Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, "You shall receive power." That's what he told his disciples. "After I leave, you're going to receive power." Same word, same Greek word as the one used here or translated here as virtue. Jesus Christ was filled with so much of God's power. He had so much of God's mind. He had so much of godly discernment that he could even tell. He could discern if there was a drain on that power. That power that went out from him to heal this woman. That's the power that God wants for us to fill up on. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul wrote that over in Ephesians 5. I'll have to get into that a bit more. There's more to get into on this study, and we'll just have to reserve it for next week since we're out of time on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.